The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Here we go. Welcome back, everybody. Another week, another episode, another amazing interview with someone that I personally enjoy and admire. I always wanted to be a fighter since I was a kid. I wanted to be a boxer, wrestler, some kind of fighter. And I'm not built for it, to be honest. I loved it. I loved it. I'm very Irish. I love to drink. So, of course, I got in a lot of fights as a young adult. I wasn't great at it. I had a lot of spunk. I was in it to win it, but I knocked myself out once. Knocked myself out. Headbutted a guy in a bar when I was in college, and it knocked me out. And I've actually knocked myself out twice that way in my lifetime, so I wasn't built for it. I was never going to be a professional fighter, obviously. Like, I have two friends, Chris Lytle, Matt Mitrione. Both were great UFC fighters with great careers behind them. And I admire those people. Like, they're kind of heroes of mine, much like special forces people in the military are heroes of mine, because there's just something about this gladiator, you know, that's within them, that's willing to do what it takes to stand toe to toe with another human being in front of millions of people and just fucking go at it. So this episode means a little bit extra to me. Not that I don't enjoy and love every person I talk to on this show, but come on, this show's called Here We Go because I used to be known for starting off Heartland Radio with Here We Go every week. And I was paying homage the whole time to Mike Goldberg, commentator for the UFC. So that's how much I admire people that are in this sport. And Ken Shamrock's here today. Legend, absolute legend. I've been wanting to speak with this guy forever since I started doing this for a living. And I just kind of lucked into it. A friend of mine is helping with publicity for Valor Bare Knuckle, which is Ken's new thing. And we're going to talk about that. But she was like, hey, any chance you would want to interview Ken Shamrock? And I was like, are you kidding me? Do you even know who you're talking to right now? Of course, I want to interview Ken Shamrock. And she made it happen. And here we are. For those of you that aren't aware of who Ken Shamrock is, and even those that do know him may not be familiar with all his accolades, so let me read them off for you. He was elected to the UFC Hall of Fame in 2003. He was 4-time UFC heavyweight champion. He was the very first Pancrase heavyweight champion, the WWF Intercontinental Champion and World Tag Team Champion, and the Pride Superfight Heavyweight Champion. You get it. Dude's a champion. Legit champion through and through. And what I always loved about him the most is that he handles himself like a champion. At all times, win or lose, dude always presents himself like a champion and a true ambassador to the sport in which he's been representing. So I'm excited. You should be excited. He has started his own fight organization, Valor Bare Knuckle. It's truly bare knuckle. There's no reps. In fact, there's no cage. You know what? He's going to explain that all to you in the interview. Just know that their second fight, VBK2, is October 27th, 2023. I'll remind you at the end. Valor Bare Knuckle, valorbk.com. I'm talking fast because I'm excited. Can't wait to let that be my new favorite sport. So let's learn more about it and more about the man behind Valor Bare Knuckle. Ladies and gentlemen, the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Ken Shamrock, thanks for joining me, brother.
Appreciate you having me, man.
Yeah, dude. I am a longtime fan. I don't know if you were told that beforehand, but I watched the very first UFC. Yeah, I think your introduction to the domestic fight world, that, you know, and setting the stage of this change that was going to take place over the next couple decades. You know how I watched it? It was so weird because, and then maybe you could tell me how you were approached about all this, but I was in the Marine Corps Reserves at the time, and my buddy was a firefighter there in Dayton, and we were on a drill weekend because our center was in Dayton. And he was like, "Hey, I just bought a house. Everybody stay at my house. Let's still stay in the hotel." And I was like, "All right, cool." And he's like, "I just got one of those satellite dishes." And it's those old school satellite dishes, you know, look like we could intercept messages from the Russians or whatever. Yeah. And dude, we're just sculling around looking for shit. It was his first day using it and all this fuzzy shit. And then all of a sudden, there's these people walking to a ring and this guy described me. I think Jim Brown, wasn't he on the first one? We were like, "What the fuck is this?" And it was the most amazing thing I had ever seen in my life. And it changed me forever. Talk to me a little bit about how that day came to be.
Yeah, it was pretty weird because I was over in Japan competing in what we call today mixed martial arts. And obviously the first UFC wasn't mixed martial arts. It was no holds barred.
Right, so right.
A lot different than what it is today. And so I was over there and I literally saw a flyer of this thing and it made a call and, you know, tried to find out because, you know, here in the States, I was doing this over in Japan. And even what I was doing, which was mixed martial arts, wasn't even allowed here. So for this no holds barred thing to come up and kind of be billed as anything goes, I kept thinking to myself, this is pro wrestling. This has got to be this pro wrestling stuff. Because there's no such thing as no holds barred, right?
Right.
Well, sure enough, it was no holds barred. So we had the first fight and Gerard Godot kicked the sumo in the face, knocked his teeth out. And that's when I think it really became real for everyone. It changed what we look at, combat sports and even self-defense.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, the fact that, you know, you all had to fight legislation for so long and all this silly bullshit, like, this is going to take over the world. There's no doubt. It was too entertaining. It was too awesome. Who doesn't want to see two people knock the piss out of each other? Everybody wants to see that.
That's exactly what it was too.
Yeah. And to have the best in the world, like it at that time, even though people here didn't know it, people like me didn't know it, you were literally like one of the greatest well-rounded fighters in the world. And they dragged you into this kind of glorified hillbilly brawl situation. But there was one little surprise. Hoyce Gracie was using this shit that hardly anybody knew about. And if you didn't have an introduction to it, it was pretty fucking hard to defend, right?
It was the unknown, right? You didn't know what you didn't know. And they came in with this skill set that actually fit into this cage. And they've been doing this for 150 years or however long their family have been perfecting this thing. And all of us were thrown into this thing where it was supposed to be no holds barred, but they had a rules meeting, which was very confusing. And then took away my shoes, took away people from taping their hands, let Art Jimerson wear one glove, but wouldn't let him tape the other hand, wouldn't let other guys who were normally used to taping their hands tape their hands. So it was just really weird. The first one, you knew it was set up. You knew you were going into someone else's home and that the rule sets were set in their favor. But let's not forget what joy it was and how much we've all kind of taken advantage of that, because I wouldn't be where I'm at without it. So even though the beginning was kind of tricky for us and a little bit surprising, we all definitely enjoyed the benefits from that.
Oh yeah. I have to assume so. And like you said, you guys caught on to what was happening. Like, this is geared very much. It was set up by the Gracies. It's geared for the Gracie family member to win. And they're going to sell the shit out of their product after that. And, but we didn't know that. We were like, oh my God, no one will ever defend this guy. He weighs 150 pounds. He can kill anybody. Like, we didn't know, you know, because we were inside your world. Yeah,
I was a world champion over in Japan. I walk in against a guy who's probably 180, more like 180 pounds. Yeah, he was tall, at least an inch taller than me. Billed as this guy. Nobody knew who he was. And comes in and spanks everybody, including myself. Man, that was like, that's when I said it'll never happen again. And it did. I mean, I really came back and said, nah, you ain't tricking me twice.
Speaking of which, you won the other matchup. So
I appreciate that.
We all saw it. We all know. But I respect the legacy of their family. But more so, I respect the legacy of yours. You are no doubt. I mean, you go by the world's most dangerous man, and it's fitting. Like, you know, you don't want to hear somebody call themselves that if it's not fitting. And it probably still is. Like, I'm assuming if you compete today against in an age group of you're the world's most dangerous man. So
as long as I don't have to train, the training is the hardest part. If I just go fight somebody, I'll be great.
Right? Exactly. And I would say that's what I really liked about you was I could tell, and watching even in a fight maybe where you didn't win the decision at the end, I'm like, if these two take it out in the alley, Ken's got him.
I grew up that way, bro. I grew up that way from the time I was 5 years old and, you know, all the way into juvenile hall and home placements. My whole life was a fight for survival. So I was kind of at home there and I faced anything that was ever dangerous. When I walked in there and they said it was just me and another guy, no weapons. I wasn't going to get jumped. Come on, man. That's easy.
This is just a Tuesday for me. That's all right.
You're right. Yeah, right. Yeah, good day.
Well, for those that don't know, we talk a little bit about your childhood and how you came up, because you did come up tough and it's definitely shaped you. And you've come out the other side as, you know, an awesome human being. So it's a great story, I think. It was tough, though, right?
Yeah, really, really hard. But, you know, I didn't know it at the time, obviously. When you're in it, it's really not all that hard because you're dealing with it and you're going through the motions and it's a normal lifestyle for you. That's it. But as you start getting to a point like myself where I started being successful and I look back on it, man, I was like, damn, you know, those were some hard times and I didn't even know it. I just thought that's just the way life was.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
You were out on your own as a like pre-teenage kid, just living on the streets, however you could get by, you got by. And then how did you end up in the group, in the Shamrock Ranch, the group home there? Was that like a judge saying do this or go to jail for a while, or what was going on?
Well, that's one of the times where I'd run away. I'd run away several times from home. It was definitely an abusive of environment. So me and my two brothers, older brothers, we all got pulled out of the house and ran away, and then we ended up getting in placement. But how I got put in placement was I was living out of a car a couple blocks from the house, and I was stealing lunch money and robbing stores, because at the time I was only, I think at the time I was 12 or 13 years old.
Jesus.
Running the streets, and I ended up getting stabbed, and I ended up in the hospital, and I got woke up handcuffed to the bed. And that's at 13 years old is where I started placement. I got put in all kinds of placements at the age of from the time I was 10 till I was 13 years old, in and out of placements. I ended up at the Shamrock Boys Home at 13 years old.
Wow. And this is it's Bob Shamrock. Is that correct?
Yes.
Ran at the time. Yep. Why did it work there and nowhere else? Because I was in law enforcement for a long time, retired from there. I'm familiar with the fact that a lot of these situations don't work out. And a lot of times I think the fault lies just on the system itself. Like, they're putting kids that need certain kinds of help in places where the people aren't equipped to be able to help them.
It's not, because basically you're just a number. You're there to do your time, and then they send you back into the same environment, which is like, to me, is crazy. It's like, keep doing the same routine over and over again, expecting a different result. just insane.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of what it was that I would go and I'd run away from these homes because they weren't there trying to help me. And they were there just to house me and feed me and send me back. And so I just would every single time run away. I never completed any of them. I always ran away and ended up back in juvenile hall. And then I got to this place, Bob Shamrock's home. And the difference about that, now I could tell you because I went through it, was that he would look at their files and really try to figure out what kind of person there were. And there was two kinds of people to him. There were the ones that were introverted and the ones that were outward. I was more outward. Like my violence came out by beating people up and being violent. Others, some that were keep it inside, were more like the ones that would draw pictures of violence, or they would cut themselves or do drugs or something like that, where they weren't about the violence, but they were about abusing themselves or drawing abusive things or even rapping about abusive things, just different ways, right? And those were more the ones that were inside. So he would always find out ways for us to be able to release that anger. And for me, it was sports. You know, he put me in football. He put me in wrestling. Once I understood the rules and understood what I needed to do, I became relevant because now I can go out there and I can hurt somebody. I can hit them as hard as I want. I can slam them. I can wrestle, do all these things. As long as I played within those rules, I could be as violent as I wanted to. That helped me because not only could I be violent and do those things, but I was getting praised for it. I was being, you know, put up on this pedestal because I was great at hurting people. Right. And so for me, it was like, oh, this is awesome. Like, and before I'd be arrested for trying to hurt somebody, now they're patting me on the back saying, nice tackle.
I got a medal around my chest.
Yeah.
But it did have rules. So you were learning, okay, I can take things this far. I got to stay within certain parameters, which is, I guess, similar to laws and shit. Right. So
it is exactly like that.
What a genius way to hone what you had going on and take what you were really good at and let you do it in an environment where you had to learn these parameters, because you feel good when you get to do shit that you're great at. Right.
Yeah. And you realize that the same things that you were doing on the street was really, really, really the same thing you're doing on a football field, other than you're in a controlled environment. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's awesome that you found him. And I can't imagine. I mean, I know I read like he's helped just countless young people like you. So he's just like a saint walking on earth, in my opinion, for all the lives he changed. And you end up, you took his last name.
Yeah. He adopted me at the age of 18. I tried to get it done earlier, but my mom wouldn't do it, which was, she, you know, I loved her. She was awesome, but she was my biological mother and never raised me. My dad and my mom, who were the ones that raised me and adopted me, they were the ones that really took time to really understand me and really give me an opportunity to be able to become a normal human being.
I mean, that's great, because I always assumed with the last name Shamrock, I'm like, well, that's like a stage name, or that's his, you know, what he's going to use to carry through celebrity. And when I learned that it's really your last name and how you got it, is just such an incredible story. And God, just so happened, the most awesome last name you could give a professional athlete, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. But my original last name was Kilpatrick, so I didn't go too far away from the heritage.
Oh yeah. Well, I'm McComas and Flannery, both sides. So yeah, I'm full of it, man. I like to drink. What can I say?
Yeah, I like to fight.
Together we are the perfect stereotype.
Right.
So when you what, like today, when you walk around post fight career, you I know you're a busy guy, like what is a typical day for you outside of work? Like how do you enjoy that seldom day off?
Tell you what, man, I'm working with Valor. When we are real busy right now, in fact, is we're in Florida now, actually going around and doing some gym visits and looking at some fighters. And so it's, to me, it's a full-time job, but I enjoy it because I remember back when I was doing it, it was the same thing where I was looking for opportunities to follow my dream. And now I get the chance to be able to show others how to do that, be able to get them in a position where I get to watch them actually fulfill their dreams. And to me, that is fulfilling.
Wow. Yeah, but and probably I assume there's a little bit that you learned from Bob in that respect. Like you're getting to kind of be that role. These young fighters that come into this, and maybe you know they're very, very talented, but there's so much to learn about how to be an adult within this business. Because I assume there's a lot of pitfalls and a lot of obstacles to avoid, and you've already been through all that shit.
Yeah, and it's good to have somebody like myself who is doing this kind of work, because most of the time you get promoters or people who are involved with the company and they don't know what it's like to be a fighter. They don't know some of the things that the fighters have to go through to get where they're at. So it seems like I have a pretty good understanding of especially when I hear them talk, of where they're at in their lives and be able to maybe help them through some of the obstacles. And also too, we're really in a position where we want our fighters to feel like they're a part of us. And like they're going to help us grow and we're going to help them grow.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Valor, because I just can't wait for this, to be honest, as someone who enjoys the hell out of combat fighting as a sport. So I was, you know, growing up was a boxing fan. My dad was a boxer in the Marine Corps boxing team. So he was always watching stuff. So I grew up loving boxing. And then, like I said, when I discovered this UFC thing, and as mixed martial arts as we know it here started to evolve, it was hard for me to watch boxing because this was more like real fighting to me, like you would do on the street. Now we're seeing Valor bare knuckle, which is probably the absolute purest form of real fighting yet. So talk to me about Valor and why it's different.
Well, basically what we've done is we've gone back to the beginning of the purest type of fighting. And that was two guys standing in front of one another and duking it out. They didn't have to go into the locker room. They didn't have to tape their hands. They didn't have to put gloves on. And they didn't have to go here and say this or that. It was just two guys standing in front of one another and saying, let's go. And so we want to bring it back to that purest form with true bare knuckle, you know, no tape on hands, no gloves. And also, too, when you look at boxing and other things that are out there, the most boring thing in a fight is when two guys start banging one another and then they grab each other, or one grabs the other one because he got hit. And it slows it completely down. And now you get the referee involved to assist the fight. And to me, it's like the referee has no business being involved in the fight at all. He's supposed to be standing out there watching, making sure nobody breaks the rules. Instead, he's in there wrestling with guys, breaking them apart, trying to get them to fight. And to me, that's asinine. Yeah. It's like, take that crap out, man. We want two guys in there that are going to fight, because that's what we came to see and that's what they came to do.
This bout circle that you created, there's no rope, there's no cage, there's nothing for a person to lean back on or get trapped against. There's just a like a mat, right? It's like a raised platform and a circle. And if you step outside of this circle, what happens?
Yeah, it's the bout circle. We call it the bout circle. And there's a little center area inside, and then there's slanted side on the outside, which are the out of bounds. And the reason why we put that together was because I felt like, you know, the visual explosion fans would have by being able to watch fights without having to look through a fence or ropes or posts felt like it would be extravagant. I mean, like they've never really been able to see fights like this. And I felt like, let's just take it down, because in my mind, I'm thinking, since when do we need ropes or cages to hold fighters in to fight? I mean, when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, I don't need nothing to make me fight. I don't need nothing to bounce me in.
Right.
I'm there to fight. That's what I do. But because it's there, fighters use it as an advantage. They use it as a tool. And for me, I think it's ridiculous. We're there to fight. You don't need anybody to be able to take advantage of something that's part of an equipment. So let's take it down, because I think if there's an advantage for fighters be able to fight, and then there's an advantage for fans to be able to watch great fights without having anything in their way. So when we did take it down and we did do the first fight, it was awesome. I mean, people couldn't believe the experience that they had without not having to look through anything. So, yeah, with the rule sets that we've put in place, it's really made it fast and it's exciting to watch. So like I said, it's our second one. And I really believe this second one is going to push us over the top.
Yeah, I think so, man. I mean, I can't imagine. As a spectator, the first UFC fight I ever went to live was in Columbus, Ohio. and my friend Chris Lido was fighting Matt Hughes. So I got seats, like, you know, ring level, and I was, you know, spent all this money, and I'm like, oh man, I'm right up on it. Well, fucking every time the shit would go down, 20 cameramen jumped in front of me and I couldn't see shit, you know, let alone the cage and all that stuff. So I think this is the perfect design, you know, with having the spectator's perspective in mind, but also this willingness to, we're both in this fucking circle to fight. There's nowhere to go. Let's do it. Like,
yeah, and you can't back up, because if you do and you step out, you lose a point.
Yeah. So which is, yeah, you lose a couple points. Everybody knows in a fight, you're done. You're going to lose. So
especially in a three round fight, you got no rounds to make up.
Right. Right. I mean, I love the format. Now, are you seeing a lot of resistance, like with legislation and shit? Because it seems like every time a new breed of sport comes up, that's a little more realistic to how we really fight. We get pushback from legislators.
I think we're being embraced. I really do. I think the rule sets are definitely something that I think they see as being an advantage to being able to boost combat sports. It's not about any making it more dangerous or anything like that. It's about creating more action. And I think just like the NFL did with the rules that they put in place to score more points, you can't touch receivers, you can't touch the quarterback, but it's exciting to watch. Like, they literally started going with times. You look at what the social media platforms are doing today with TikTok. It is what? It's like 6 to 10 seconds that you capture people.
Yeah.
So sports has to do the same thing. You got to be able to go with times. You got to be able to create things and put rule sets in that's going to make it exciting for fans to want to watch it. And that's all we've done. We're keeping up with time right now. And we're trying to make sure the fan base get what they want and the fighters get to fight like they want.
Now, how many fights will a person see on a card?
Yeah, we'll have 12 fights.
12 fights. Okay.
Yeah. So we look forward to that. We got some good fights. I truly believe that this card is going to be fun. A lot of local talent, but there's a lot of beefs between some of these fighters. So it's going to be fun to watch.
Oh, nice. And that's in Jacksonville, Florida, October 27th. If you go to Valor, VALORBK.com, you can learn everything you need to know about what rule set is in place and who's going to be on the card and where the venue is and how to get tickets. I know a lot of people that listen to me, that follow me, are into combat sports. So get on it. And if any of you want to go with me to see it, hit me up. We'll jump in a car.
Absolutely, man. Love to see you guys there, man. It's going to be fun. Don't miss it.
I can't miss it. I think that this is going to be my new sport. I know it's going to be my new sport. And you can also, I'm assuming you can get on pay-per-view, like on the Fight Network.
Yeah, no, which, you know, it's our app is, we're getting ready to launch our app, but it won't be this fight. So okay. You're just going to have to come see it live.
Oh, well, that's cool. And then as it grows, you will be able to watch it on Valor's own platform.
Man, yes.
That's great. That's really smart too. All right, so let me learn a little bit more about you before we let you go. I know it's Saturday and you got a lot of shit to do. You got this fight coming up and a lot of PR stuff to do for it. But if you could pick one person from history that could be dead, that could still be alive, it doesn't matter. One person that you haven't ever got to hang out with, that you could pull back and have a beer with, a coffee, whatever you like to do with your friends. If you could pick one person to do that for an hour that you haven't, who would you pick?
Well, you got to remember, man, when I grew up, I didn't have idols. I mean, I was in juvenile hall on the street, so I didn't really get to, you know, really watch TV or, you know, look at people. So for me, I don't know if this sounds bad, but I've never really looked up to anyone because I was too busy trying to get myself where I needed to be. So there are a lot of great athletes out there and a lot of them that have done tremendous, but for me as an athlete and as a fighter, I didn't have time for that. I had to do me.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's a great answer. I mean, that's your own unique situation. So probably you just discover people as you go. And
yeah. Now if I could pick anyone outside of anything, it would be Abraham Lincoln. I think the lifestyle that he lived in the beginning of everything would really help explain how we got to where we are today with the politics and,
yeah,
you know, how we gave up control considering where they were at during those times, where it's for the people, by the people, of the people. To me, that's where I would want to go.
I agree. Of any president, that's who I'd want. Plus, I kind of think he's a good time. Like, I feel like he knows how to cut loose.
Oh, he's a fighter, bro.
Yeah, he was. As a young man, he was out there mixing it up, which reminds me of Balor, by the way, to go back for that quickly. The whole concept when I first started looking at it reminds me of, like, just these alley, back alley fights where the crowd was the ring. They formed a circle, and there was no getting out of it. They would just push you back in. So that's what it reminds me of. So Abraham Lincoln would fucking love Valor, I can tell you that.
I would love to just be able to be there for the beginning of all of that.
Right, right. So you don't watch, like, TV movies now?
I watch movies. I don't watch TV, but I do watch movies here and there, yeah.
Do you have a favorite movie?
Reservoir Dogs.
Oh, yeah. Dude. Right? Yeah. Well, Tarantino's my guy anyway.
But yeah, he's got a lot of great movies, though. Yeah,
I got a long list of Tarantino shit I love. But Reservoir Dogs, I think, was the first one, because I found it by accident. I didn't know about it. Nobody had told me to go watch it. I just came across it one day and whatever it was on, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, this is different, you know? I loved it. And I was an undercover cop for a long time. And so that character, I was like, oh, dude, I thought I was in some shit my pants moments. Can you imagine being that dude? Like, it's crazy. But then also, he's kind of a fucking rat, because I like the other guys, you know?
So. What is he supposed to do? He's dying.
Exactly. So can you tell me, like, the craziest or funniest or whatever story that sticks out to you from, because you've had such a long and illustrious fighting career all over the planet in all different forms, lower and higher. Like, what's a crazy mixed martial arts story? You and your guys are somewhere and some crazy shit went down.
Yeah, I don't have any of those stories.
No. I bet. Now, I'm good friends with Chris Lido, and he told me a couple stories. And you're a legend. So you gotta have one. Somebody punched somebody in the mouth when they weren't looking at an after party. I mean, something.
No, I got a few, but I'll tell you one that I can actually tell you. We were in Dallas, Guy Mesger, and he was a good fighter of mine. We had the gym out there, and I'm not going to mention the other guys' names that this happened at. Was we were all in this club, and, you know, I was training for a fight, and so we were all out there having a good time and, you know, just kind of chilling. And there was a group of guys, probably about six of them. There was probably four of us, and they were all standing there, and, you know, they start chirping. You know how they get. All people start recognizing this and that. And then, of course, they start drinking. They start chirping. And all of a sudden, they start talking smack, which is shocking. alcohol right. In a bar, and a guy's talking smack to somebody that could kill him. Yeah.
That's why I say thank God for cauliflower ear. Because that tells anybody, like, oh, that guy's a cauliflower. I'm not fucking chirping at
walk
that
dude. Away, right? Just walk away.
But go ahead. Finish your story.
We get started in. And then they start chirping. The next thing I get up and I look at him, I said, I tell you what, I said, man, if you say one more word, man, and I'm about to knock your head off your shoulders. And so the dude starts to say one word, and I'm not going to mention names, but all of a sudden the dude just goes, I see this fist coming in, bam, down he goes, bam, down goes the other one, bam, down goes the other one, bam, down goes the other one. And it was under this dude that he was pretty tough himself, was told, like, Ken can't get in any fights. We go to this place, he cannot fight. And he's one of our young boys, right? And so he had to be the one to take care of the problem. I didn't know this. And so all of a sudden these bodies start dropping, and I'm looking and I see him standing. What the fuck are you doing? He goes, man, I was told that if you were going to get into a fight, man, you cannot fight. And so we had to make sure it didn't happen. And sure as hell, they made sure it didn't happen. I was floored that there was nobody standing after that. I was like, I got magic. I just told him. If he said one more word, I was going to knock his head off, and there it went.
That's the greatest story I've ever heard. Just the fact I never thought about a young guy at the gym. He might have to take that role, dude. You're going to have to be a soldier and fall on the grenade if it happens.
Yeah, and I, like I said, I didn't know. I didn't know that was, you know, what was happening. I just started seeing
but they got to protect the money. They're like, hey, just so you know, if somebody pops off on Ken, and he's like, you weren't even ready yet. You're just like, one more word, pop, 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 and it goes off.
Right. Yeah.
Fucking hilarious.
It was finished, but again, too, you think about it. How many times have guys gone out, which was when I was younger, you go out and you got this title fight and you go in, you get in a fight, and you break your hand, done. Like,
there goes
the money.
Yeah. You can't have that. Yeah. I think it's genius, first of all. I always wanted to be the guy that, like, I thought, oh boy, when I was younger, I would have took that job. Like, not necessarily that job, but the one to take the heat for a celebrity. Like, all right, I'll just, like a fixer, like a Ray Donovan almost. Right. I don't know if you ever watched that, but yeah. All right, so you've had, like, again, I'm a big fan. So many people listen to this are huge fans of you and everything you've accomplished. When it's all said and done, like, what do you hope people say about Ken Shamrock and what he brought to the table?
It's definitely not fighting. I mean, obviously, I hope people really love that I was entertaining and that I always brought it, for sure. But really, about, because of the social media and how people are really able to get to know people, I just want people to know that who I was is because I was always there, ready to bring it, and would never take a shortcut. You know, just like you hear a lot of times, especially today, where people are always padding their records, they're taking fights they probably shouldn't take just to get wins. That never happened. I was always fighting the best.
Always fighting the best. And win or lose, like, no excuses. You were the one guy that you didn't talk shit. If it was over and you didn't get the decision, even though we watching thought you should have gotten it, you didn't complain. I was always like, fucking stand up for yourself, Ken. And you were just like, you know, hey, he was better today, even though he wasn't. And I always saw and felt a lot of grace in that. And
well, you know why that was that? Because I always knew I would get another shot.
There you go.
My talking then.
Yeah. I guess that's what I love about you. You're like, no, I'll handle it once I step inside that fence or whatever. So, well, dude, this has been a pleasure. I can't thank you enough for taking time out to talk to me. I want everybody to check out valorbk.com. Find a ticket to this live event on October 27th in Jacksonville, Florida. And if you can't, just start following it, because they're going to be released on a pay-per-view on their own platform, and it's going to be incredible, and it's going to be yet another evolution in combat sports, and I can't wait.
I'll be there. I'll see you all there.
Thanks for coming, brother.
Oh, here we go. Here we go.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.